Hey everyone, it's Beauty. I'm just gearing up to do the editing on my 50th audio. I can't even believe I'm saying that. My 50th audio, which I have decided to do The Deep End by True Garden as my 50th. So I'm going to be editing that tonight. Now, it's going to be a little bit more of an involved one because there are some sound effects in this one. So I'm probably not going to take you through the whole thing. I know last time I promised it wouldn't be a 40-minute audio, and that's actually what it ended up being. And I've taken no end of shit for that. Thanks, guys. So I'm not making any promises about how long this one will be. It'll be what it'll be. What will be? It's late, and apparently I can't speak tonight. Basically, I've done some of the legwork on this one already, just to see what I need. Generally, when there's a lot of sound effects, or I anticipate that there will be. Now, I recorded this one quite some time ago. I actually recorded this one when it first came out, when the script was first released. But then, I can't remember how closely, but pretty close, there were two fills of it. Were posted within a few days of each other. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going anywhere near that. My personal rule of thumb is I won't go anywhere near another fill, you know, generally 2 to 3 weeks if I can help it. Sometimes I goof and go a little bit sooner. Sometimes, you know, my schedule dictates that I have to go a little bit sooner. And sometimes the other fills are very, very different from mine. Then I'll bend the rules a little bit. Typically, though, a week is about the minimum that I'll leave between my fill and another one before I'll post. So when I recorded this one, there were two other fills went up within a week of each other. I think it was less than a week of each other. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to sit on this one for a while. I believe that was in May. And I just sort of came back to it. I do fill a lot of True Garden scripts. They are very, very well written, and I enjoy filling them. So I thought this would be a good one to come back to for my 50th. It's a really emotional script in a lot of ways. There's a lot going on for this character. She's gone through some stuff. This is the one about the amputee in the wheelchair. And, you know, anybody that's been through anything in their life kind of relates to how this girl feels. Maybe not to the extent that she has gone through things. I mean, we've all got struggles. We've all been through shit. But she's, you know, she thought she was handling it. She thought she was going through it. And then all of a sudden, she finds herself in a situation that before what happened to her would have been just another day, right? She's just screwing some guy in a shower, whatever. Now it's a whole different ball game. And this is a guy that she had feelings for or considered before, if I'm remembering correctly. I'm spitballing, so forgive me if I'm off. But there was some history between them in school. And she sort of cycled through guys. No, he had feelings for her. That's what it was. But she cycled through guys. She makes a comment about that. And it was not any big thing for her to just, you know, meet somebody, like them, and see where it went. Now she has to be so much more careful, or finds herself being so much more careful, so much more guarded because of what she's been through. So there was a lot of emotional baggage to bring to the table for this one, which makes her so, so interesting. And that's just the type of character that this writer brings to us with his scripts. And it's one of the most satisfying types of scripts to do, because sometimes when you do this particular medium, you get stuck in the mold of how many different ways can I have an orgasm? Let's be honest, right? How many different ways can I make that noise without sounding redundant? So it's always nice to have something different, something to strive for, something to dig deep for. And that's generally how I pick my scripts, is I look for those things. I look for the things that A, catch my attention, B, are well written, and C, let me try things that I may not have done before, or even if I have, maybe let me do them in a different way, or let me explore certain themes a little bit deeper. So we've got all of that going on here. we don't really see a lot of this type of story in GWA context, I guess. We don't see a lot of, I guess, how do I say this? I'm never sure what the politically correct way to say things is in other parts of the world. I know where I'm from, the way we would say it, and it would be okay. So I apologize if the way I say it isn't the way it's okay for you, and it's not intended in any way. It's basically, we don't see a lot of scripts focusing on disabilities or people with disabilities. That can go to one of two ways, and I know I've talked to other performers about this and writers about this. There's a difference between portraying someone with a disability having a normal sex life and fetishizing the disability. And we absolutely don't want to do the second thing. We don't want to turn the disability into the fetish. That's absolutely what we want to stay away from. And that's always the fear when you bring something like this to the table, is that it's going to find the wrong audience. So that could be part of the reason that there isn't as much content surrounding this particular type of topic. When it's handled properly, when it's handled with compassion and sensitivity, like it is in this audio, like it was in this script, it's the first one. It's just taking a closer look at how someone with a different set of circumstances deals with their sexuality. And how it's just like the rest of us, with a few other challenges thrown in. And you know what? We all have those challenges. Not to the same degree, not the exact same things, but we all deal with something. So when it's handled the way it was in this script, it doesn't feel like this person is all that different. It doesn't feel like she is all that different. I don't know how else to say that. It doesn't feel like her disability, the things that she feels set her apart, or, you know, the things that are different for her now than when she knew the listener character before, they're not major roadblocks, because they're just one more thing that she has to deal with. Like I said, that has to be handled properly. And it was here. It was handled beautifully. And I don't expect any less from this particular writer. So that's the script and the audio in a nutshell. So when I'm editing, I'm looking at what's going on in this scenario, obviously. Where are they? What are they doing? What would we be hearing in the background? I don't always want to do soundscapes. I do soundscapes quite a bit. I do a lot of immersive stuff. I've done quite a bit of that lately, especially. Those are time-consuming things, and they are so worth it. But I'm one person putting out what is becoming an insane amount of content. There is some things on the horizon that are going to make that even worse. So the heavy immersion audios are going to be spaced out a little bit more. So when I'm looking at, do I want to go the whole nine yards or not? Does the script need it? First of all, can I sell it without? In this case, the script sells itself. Yes, it can absolutely do it without. Anything from this writer, that's the case. I don't ever worry about having to create a world around Garden's characters and his scenes. It's just not a thing. Would it be cool to do it? That's the other thing. Do I get to be super creative and take this world that's been created for me and actually give it just that other dimension? Yeah. That's something that I do like to do, and that's something that, you know, the little theater geek in me likes to bring to the surface every now and then. Ugh, more than every now and then, let's be honest. So that's what I'm looking at when I'm deciding if I want to go full in. And for this particular script, it's set in a public pool to start. I mean, she's obviously in the water. I'm just looking at my notes. She's in the water, and yes, I do keep my notes in a physical notebook. People make fun of me to no end for this. It's a physical notebook. It's literally like paper. Listen, paper in a notebook, paper with a pen, because that's just how I'm old, I guess. I don't know. I'm not that old, but I'm an old soul. There you go. So she's in a public pool when she runs into the listener character. It's not going to be quiet by any stretch of the imagination. So do we go and do, you know, the background of the public pool and give it the ambiance of that, which also gives a contrast to when they're in the locker room, the showers, doing what they end up doing. It's an interesting thought, and I kind of like the way that's playing out in my head right now. So there's that soundscape to create. I have to figure out how I want to do the public pool. Luckily, in my little bag of tricks, I already have that that type of soundscape created. I don't remember what I used it for, but I already had it. So I've got something for that. The wheelchair has been a little bit of a struggle. I don't have a wheelchair in my bag of tricks. I thought I did. I remember doing a show at one point where I needed one, but I don't remember where we got the sound effect. And I don't have it in any of my old stuff. Also, trying to find a decent wheelchair sound effect online that is not behind a paywall is proving difficult. So either I'm going to bite the bullet and pay for the damn thing, or I'm going to figure something out. So stay tuned for that. The other thing that we are dealing with is they're going to have sex in a shower. So we need shower sounds. It indicates in the script that the shower gets turned on, and I have just skimmed it, so I may be wrong, and you'll find out when you hear the audio, but I don't remember seeing any point where they shut the water off. So I feel like they're doing what they're doing with the water going, which is interesting because that means I have to keep the water sound going all the way through. So finding not only the effect of the shower turning on, which is a different effect than a shower running, I have to find the shower running too, right? So I've got to build that. And if they're not from the same effects pack, I have to make sure that the water matches. Because if they don't, it's going to wreck everything. So the question becomes, do I play with the pitch of one water sample to match the other? Maybe. I've done it before. Sure. Or do I cut a sample out of the effect where I'm turning on the shower because it's got a little bit of water running in it and create a loop? And just loop it and keep it going. I don't know yet. I haven't decided how I want to do that. But those are my options. What I'll have to do is decide how I want to pan everything. Do I want everything on both channels in the center? Do I want to have some in the right channel, some in the left channel? Do I want it moving around? I don't really think we're going to be playing with a whole lot of that. The only thing I may end up doing, and I'm on the fence about this, is, and you'll find out again when you hear the audio, but this is the thought process that goes on in my head. Do I take the ambiance of the public pool I apologize. I'm losing my voice. I was not very kind to it today. So do I take the ambiance of the public pool and carry it through? But when they go into the locker room, reduce the level on it. If I reduce it and I pan it, I would pan it left. I'm just thinking how that would work. Pan it left, and then I can run. I run a low pass filter, maybe. It depends on what the sample sounds like. I have to see what the sample sounds like. I'd run a filter over it to make it sound almost muffled, like we're hearing it through the wall. I forget which audio it was, but I did it with a party scene where I moved the sound of the party when they were in the room. It was both channels fully in the center or all around you, whatever. And then when they moved into the other room, I reduced it and pulled it off to the side. Actually, I was really proud of that one. I can't remember which audio it was though. Where they when somebody opened the door, I actually timed it perfectly where the door opened and the sound moved from the side. I think it was on the left channel. Moved from the left channel, dead center, the volume increased perfectly. And then as soon as the door closed, it snapped back into the left channel and the volume decreased. I was really proud of the timing of that effect. I still friggin' remember what audio that was, though. It was a confession audio in a bedroom at a party. So if anybody knows, drop it in the comments. I can't friggin' remember. There's as of June 6th or July 6th, there'll be 50 audios posted, so frig. And I have what do I have? 14 more, 15 more recorded that haven't been released. So guys, I got a lot of content. I can't remember them all. Sorry. Anyway, my apologies to the writer of that one because I remember really enjoying that one. So if you're listening, sorry, I do know which one it is. I just can't remember the title off the top of my head. I remember exactly what happened. The title is just completely gone right now. So anyway, so going back to that, so do I want to keep the ambiance of the public pool in the background? But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking those places tend to have pretty thick walls. You know, they're the concrete type. So they don't generally have a lot of noise leakage from one space to the other intentionally. So I don't know that in that scenario you would be able to hear what was going on in the actual pool section. I don't think you would. Unless it was like a cheap public pool that didn't have a lot of luxury to it, I suppose. So I guess it depends on where I want to set the scene too. See, this is what an over-analytical brain will do to you. It spins you in 45 different friggin' directions and makes it 18 times more work than it needs to be. So, yeah, I'm gonna have to look at that. It'll depend on what the ambiance sample sounds like and what I can do with it with a filter and how quickly I can do it. Because if it takes forever, I'm not gonna do it. Just because I got other shit to do too. I got a lot going on. And I don't ever want to feel like I'm rushing it because I don't want to put in the time. I always want to make sure I put in the time that the audio deserves. But if I'm adding extraneous work because I'm trying to be too artistic or I'm going over that line and I'm being so extra, it's not necessary. I don't want to do that. It doesn't benefit anybody. And there's not really any payoff for it, right? Because chances are the audio is going to be just as good, just as well received. You guys are going to like it just as much. Whether I do this with, the background thing or whether I don't, right? Is it going to improve the experience of the audio? For most people, no. There are a lot of performers that don't use effects at all, because the payoff isn't always there. And I totally get it. I struggled with using effects myself because it is extremely time consuming. The funny part is some of my favorite performers don't use effects, and some of my favorite audios don't use effect, like don't have effects in them. So it's really funny that I prefer to put them into my own audios. So I get it. And I had to make that decision when I first started doing this. My first audios don't really have effects. I can't remember what the turning point was. I think it might have been Will o' the Wisp when I really went hard. Actually, I think it was. When I really went hard on the effects, it was when someone suggested to me putting the marsh landscape behind the audio. So creating an actual soundscape for it was, in essence, what the suggestion became. Because it just didn't feel right, you know, talking about being in this setting and not hearing the setting. And at first, I remember having that conversation and being slightly annoyed, because my first thought was, what, my voice isn't enough? Like, I didn't act it well enough that you don't need that? Like, what? Which is the irrational response of a performer who could be up their own ass at any given time, which any performer has that tendency. It's just the nature of the beast, right? So when I thought about it, I thought, you know what? That would probably make it a better audio. And it did. And that was kind of the floodgates opening. And then all of a sudden, I thought, you know what? Let's play and let's see what we can do. Especially when the feedback on the audios started to come back specifically about the effects. That's one of the things I love about you guys. I'm going to be completely honest. My listeners are some of the most detail-oriented listeners I've seen in the community. You guys pick up on things that I am so appreciative of because it's not just, and forgive my crudeness, it's not just, oh my God, I came so hard. That's great. It's porn. It's what it's supposed to be. But you guys are like, the story was awesome, and you know, I loved this about the characters and this about the writing and the effects were like, you guys are phenomenal and I love it. I absolutely love it. The feedback that I get from you guys, the comments, it's motivating, first of all. It's what keeps me going. But it makes me feel like you're actually listening. It's not just something to scratch an itch, you know what I mean? It's allowing me to make something that could actually be seen as more than just porn. So thank you for that. I had to throw that in there because without you guys responding that way, I don't get the chance to elevate what I do. And that is where doing things like these effects, it doesn't really matter about the effects if all somebody's doing is that particular activity. It's really funny. I can friggin' talk dirty and shit in like the audios, but in real life, I no. It's not something I'm particularly good at. So I apologize for that. Anyway, so it just that's where the effects come from. It's the fact that you guys you notice them and you enjoy them and we're able to have sort of a dialogue in the comments and in the DMs and on my feedback form, not as much of a dialogue on the feedback form, but I still hear about this stuff on the feedback form. And it's amazing. So thank you very much for that. So that's why I put in the time that I do and why for me right now, the payoff is worth it. There may come a day that, you know, the heavy effects audios and stuff end up on Patreon. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Patreon is still being sorted out. We'll figure that out later. There's enough crap going on. But yeah, for right now, the effects and stuff are still things that I enjoy doing. And this audio that I'm working on right now, this is like a tangent heavy commentary. Jesus. This audio that I'm working on right now is a prime example of how if I don't temper myself, if I don't find some level of balance, I can go so far, pardon the pun, off the deep end. Ha ha ha. With this type of thinking and with this type of creativity, that I will drive myself nuts, first of all. And second of all, I'll add 3 or 4 hours to my editing of one audio. My audios are long to begin with. Sorry about that. But to add that kind of time to each one, I mean, wow, that's why some weeks I feel like all I do is work, record, and edit. And those are the weeks that are a little bit tough. So this is where conversations that you just heard verbalized, that usually happen in about 20 seconds in my head, are so important, because as I've been talking about this and as I've been sort of working through other things and just sort of verbally unloading, in the back of my mind, I've actually been making the decision, and I don't think I'm going to carry forward the ambiance. I don't think it's worth it. I don't think it's necessary. I think the shower is going to be enough. We're just going to make the decision that they're in a higher end facility with thicker walls, and that's that. So there's the final say on that. The decision has been made. So basically that's the process for me. To come back to what we started talking about before all the tangents. I look at the script, I make the decisions, and this is how I come to my conclusions. So now what I'll do, because I'm not going to go through it with you, because this one's probably going to be a good 3-4 hours to put together, if not a little bit more. What I'm going to do is I will open all of my effects samples in Audacity. As I mentioned before, I use three different programs. So I use Audacity, Audition, and Reaper. Reaper and I are having a bit of a disagreement right now. My system doesn't like it at the moment. I think I need to upgrade a few things on my laptop. I've been putting it off and putting it off, but I think it's time. I don't think I can avoid it anymore. So I prefer to cut and paste, for lack of a better, simplified way of saying it, to cut and paste in Audacity to Audition, because Audition, as much as I love the program and the functionality of it, it's just not as fast. I can whip through a few things in Audacity quite quickly. And as long as I'm not dealing with audio quality, I find that Audacity will do what I need it to do. If I'm doing noise reduction, or I'm, you know, cleaning up samples, or I'm doing any of that stuff, Audition or Reaper are absolutely where I'm going to go. But to basically stitch my effects together and then layer it all, Audacity will do that a lot easier and faster for me. So what I'll do is I'll open all the samples, all the effects, and I will either stitch together what I need to, which it doesn't look like I'll need to do a whole lot, maybe just the shower, creating that loop of the water, deciding whether I'm going to loop it or whether I'm going to take two samples and pitch correct one of them. That still remains to be seen. Depends on which takes less time and sounds better. Because sometimes when you pitch correct things, it takes on a weird tone and sounds like it's been altered. I don't want to do that. So we'll see how that goes. And then just making sure I can get proper noise reduction on the background for the ambiance of the pool. So there's that. And then I'm going to figure out the wheelchair, which, like I said, I may end up just biting the bullet and paying for the sound effect, which part of me doesn't mind doing, because, I mean, the people that created those need to be paid too. But part of me is like, you know what? There's enough free shit out there. I shouldn't have to do this. So I'm on the fence. We'll see how it goes. So yeah, I'll create the effects, and then I'll go through and I'll do the editing process the way I did in the first production commentary. Pretty basic. I'll go through, I'll identify my spots where I have to make my cuts, because I've clapped and made the big visual cues in the audio file. And then I'll give it a final listen before I layer in the effects where they go. And once I'm happy with that, I will, basically I'll mix and render all of my effects together into one effects track, and I will save a FLAC of, I've been doing FLACs again, a FLAC of the edited audio file, so just the voice. I'll save a wave of the effects track and a FLAC of the effects track, and then I'll mix and render them together into a new track. And it'll get saved as a FLAC, a wave, and an MP3. per the previous commentary. So that's how it'll all go down. Like I said, I'm looking at probably 3 to 4 hours to get it all done. So yeah, that's what I'm in for tonight. And hopefully you guys enjoy what I've done with the audio. Again, terrific, absolutely terrific script. It's rare to find talent that makes you sit up and take notice as a performer. And I have been extremely fortunate to come across a handful of writers who are incredibly talented, unique, have such original voices, and such different styles. But they're so well suited to the medium, which is not easy to do. So every time I get to sit down and I get to go back over an audio from a script by any of these amazing writers, and I'm not just talking about Garden, who's obviously the one I'm dealing with tonight, but you know, the other night Uttered Bun with the May I series, Justin Cidermouth with the Spoiled Sub, Sandy Stockings, I do her stuff all the time. My Oral Fixation, another one that I do quite a few script fills for. Miles to Go 26, another one. Who else do I fill? I fill for so many different ones. And basically, these are the ones that I keep coming back to because the writing is good. And the writing gives me something to work with. And I feel so, so privileged as a performer to be able to say that I have such an amazing list of writers that I can go to and pick through their script lists and always find something. It's amazing. I just added new writers to my list over the weekend. So, you know, this is great. So thank you to all the writers who submit such amazing stuff to GWA for us to fill. You guys definitely make it work for us. So that was my little writer's appreciation moment to all of you. And it's really in the editing that I notice the quality. I mean, I notice it when I'm recording, but when you're recording, you're in a different headspace. It's the introspection of the editing where you're actually hearing the dialogue, where you're actually, you know, knitting together the scenes, taking out the weird thing that you did when you were recording, or, you know, this odd noise here or that stumbled word there or whatever it is. And you can really appreciate the dialogue and the way it all comes together. And without the writer doing what they do, that doesn't exist. So big thanks to all you guys. And if I missed anybody in the named list, I apologize. Not intentional. I hadn't intended to name everybody, but they were just sort of coming at me fast and furious. So thank you to all of you, all of the writers that I fill. You're all amazing. And yeah. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to go get this audio put together so that it's ready to post my 50th. See, I'm already losing steam. My 50th audio, guys. I can't even believe it. It's a milestone that I never thought I'd get to. And it's because of you guys that I'm still making them. So you keep listening. I'll keep making them. And I'll keep making these rambly as fuck production commentaries if you still want to hear them. That's pretty much what I can offer is the behind the scenes peek behind the curtains. So thanks for asking for that stuff, and I'll talk to you guys soon.